Supervisor.
This is the Music Supercast.
It's in my interest, in ours perhaps, for me to smoke a joint and calm down.
Hosted by Supergroup's Mary Prankster and lead music supervisor David Heyman. Recorded out of their Toronto and LA headquarters. Produced by Sorrel Sound and all vetted by me, Amani Sabri. Check out the Supercast blog at wearethesupergroup.com/MSC and don't forget to share.
I think I got my swagger back.
Authenticity to me, to you, is key. It's actually clutch. And you know, I've seen people that are just musicians for the sync world and that's all they are. I don't feel it.
We're back on the Music Supercast. I hope everybody is doing really good. I hope everybody that is holed up in quarantine is not going insane, keeping your brain maintained on the goodness. And the goodness, as we know, is music and inspiration. But truly the heroes are those on the front line. So we're going to celebrate both on this podcast. One through the form of the music of Han Hong, which is produced and co-written by Alex Lex Jr., who is the guest on the podcast today. But Han Han is a frontline nurse by day, and she's keeping us all safe and sound. She's risking her life. She's putting it all out there. And her, amongst many of her colleagues, are doing everything they can to keep us healthy, in line, and alive. So when it comes down to that, I really wanted to thank the frontline workers truly from the bottom of my heart, and the ones that I've seen daily, the ones at the grocery store, the ones at the gas station, the ones that are driving trucks and food to the grocery stores, the farmers that are, you know, harvesting the crops for us, everybody that's keeping this machine going, I appreciate you and I love you, and we will get through this. I am positive that through love and empathy, if we check in on our neighbors, if we, you know, care for our family and take care of ourselves, which is important, stay creative and stay, you know, stay vigilant. All this bullshit about, you know, this being a Chinese flu and all this stuff that Trump's putting out there is harmful. It's harmful, it's racist, and it needs to stop. And it's in these kind of times of crisis where we can lose our rights, we can lose our freedoms if we're not careful. So I'm not asking everybody to only be vigilant with their health and practice social distancing and social studies, as Ruby said in the last podcast, but also to be keenly aware of your rights and make sure those are intact. And we can't have those erode during a time of crisis. It's essential that we maintain who we are. And who we are is a free and beautiful country that allows music like the music of Lex Jr., which is the other thing we're talking about here, to flourish. Alex is, he's a producer. He's been on the Toronto scene for many years. You've heard his music 100% on commercials for Google and Apple and Crown Royal and all different kinds of films and TV shows through mostly Mike Jansen, who hooks him up with lots of work, lots of action, as Mike Jansen does, one of the number one hustlers. Mike, big love. Hope you're safe and doing well, of course. Working with guys like Romeo Candido and Han Lee, with the Project Datu and different various, you know, editors, filmmakers, people that engage him for production things. He's a man, a renaissance man, a man about town who knows what he's doing and has a passion for not only music at large, the history of music, the shoulders that he stands on, but a keen awareness of his culture and how he can infuse his Filipino heritage into as much music as possible when it's right and when it feels right. And to me, it always feels right because whatever he's doing is magic. Datu has a new album coming out, so check them out. Datu Music and LexJr.com is where you're going to find all of his new music. And music will save you. You know, even fun stuff, man. It's important to dance. Any nurse will tell you that. And I'm big shout to nurses, by the way. Our show that we work on, nurses. Big shout to Alana Frank and the team there that gave all the medical supplies, along with a couple other of the medical shows in Canada, all to the front lines. We're working to do our part. The Guild of Music Supervisors is hosting a one-on-one virtual event again. Big shouts to Kaya for putting that together. If you go to the guildofmusicsupervisors.ca/1-1 or 1-1, you will find the place to sign up. And once you sign up, you'll have a one-on-one session for about 10-15 minutes with a music supervisor, a chance to pitch your music and forge and begin a relationship. So people are doing what they can. You can go to wearethesupergroup.com, and in our news, we've got some links and resources for musicians, specifically in Toronto, because we're just looking after our backyard. We're going to put some Los Angeles links in there, but honestly, you know, I don't know what's going down in the U.S. I do know what's going down in Toronto. We're going to connect with Adele very shortly and figure out how we can help the L.A. music community, which is extremely important to us. But right now, if you go to the website, you will find links for Toronto artists, Toronto creators, Toronto producers who are looking for a help, resources, links, and hopefully a way to pitch your music to us so we can get you some sync action. And we talk about why that's important and how to do that properly on this podcast with Alex Lex Jr., who has a song coming up on a new Nat Geo commercial. So we basically sat down 3-4 months ago at Vancouver Asian Film Festival, where they were doing a focus on film and music. And so they invited myself, Ben Chan from Last Gang and E1, along with Alex, to Vancouver to meet with Natasha Dupree, who's my co-vice president on the Guild of Music Supervisors and one heck of a music supervisor. Amazing, mad respect. Hope we can have her on the pod soon. But they brought us all out, and you know, we found a little room, did like a 1992 one mic style Much Music Nardwar kind of interview. Obviously not as good as Nard, not even close, but we talked about all of this work, how he does it, where the inspiration comes from. But we also get into the nuts and bolts of how you pitch your music, how you actually get paid for what you do. And part of that, or the biggest part of that, is writing from the heart. Alex does just that. Everything he touches, man, it is gold. God bless him, because it's his birthday today. I swear I ain't shitting you. I know this is dropping on April 1st, but big love, Alex. I know it's your birthday. So, I don't know, happy 25th or whatever. yeah, he's a veteran. He knows it, man. But we're going to have lots of good show notes, so check it out. Lots to dive into. We do tease some of the music as we do on the podcast. Again, a big, huge super group. Big love to all of the frontline workers, Hanley, and all your colleagues in the hospitals all across the world, frankly, especially the ones in Toronto that I can see that are keeping me and my family healthy. Thank you. Thank you so much. This podcast, in my own small way, is dedicated to you, to good music, to the whole fucking Gong Gang, and everybody on the front lines who's keeping us safe. So without wasting anyone's precious time, and again, a big shout out to Chad, Sorrel Sound, Matt at Sound Off, and Amani for putting together the blog and the show notes and all that stuff. This is the Music Supercast. You've tuned in because you're a good fucking person and you care. So stay away 6 feet, at least. Social distancing will get us through. Music Supercast with Lex Jr. Big love. Toronto legendary producer, mentor to many, Raptor fan, just an all-around great guy that I'm very excited to be here at the Vancouver Asian Film Festival, mm-hmm. which this year has a focus on music.
Yeah.
And I'm here with yourself, mm-hmm. Benjamin Chan,
yeah.
and my vice president in crime at the Guild of Music Supervisors, Natasha Dupree.
Dope.
And today we're doing a little panel, but I thought I'd get a chance to talk to you about your amazing career.
Cool.
You've been doing this a long time. When did you start playing music?
Man, I would say I've been doing music for like at least, could I say probably two decades.
Okay.
Yeah, saying 20 years, it sounds a little bit older, but I think two decades is, It's easier to say.
Honestly, the way that I know you, what you've done on your own is surprising and amazing, mm-hmm. but hasn't really been on my radar because I'm very interested in your actual projects. Mm-hmm. You know, Datu, yeah. Anhan.
Yeah.
Those are the two main kind of music projects that you have going on?
Yeah, I think I've been doing both of those projects for at least 4 years, give or take. We've released the Datu album in 2017. Hanhan album is just keeps getting lots of love since like 5 years ago when we released it.
Right.
So now, you know, we're about to release some new Hanhan stuff, which is going to be January 2020, and some new Datu stuff. I'm just excited to kind of like constantly put more in these projects, but also like unapologetically just keep releasing them now.
For sure.
Yeah.
Well, they feel like they have your stamp on them.
Yeah.
And they feel like your project. Start with Hanhan. She's Hanalee.
Hanalee Pableo. Okay. She is a Filipino rapper, not by trade, but by nature. Like, you know, explain. She was, her main influences back then, she never really knew hip hop or rap. She was like a huge Bon Jovi fan.
Oh God, sorry for her.
Yeah, right? and again, this is like a Filipino thing. It's like, you know, she's an authentic human being. She never really rapped. And then she did this thing called the Baligtasan, which is poetry in the Philippine,
okay.
Filipino community or just Philippine arts. And, you know, we had like a poetry group, a poetry slam, and you know, you throw her on a beat and next thing you know, her cadences, her rhythm was on some next level. It's like amazing. As authentic and as hip hop as you could possibly have it,
right.
Without having her have any hip hop influences.
Amazing. And she is like your penultimate Filipino, a Canadian, where she loves pop music.
Yeah.
She's a nurse.
She's a full-time nurse. She's in the OR
right
on a regular. So, like, you know, obviously, you put her in the studio, she's definitely got some bars.
We actually got her on a show called Nurses recently.
Yes, you did.
Yes.
And thank you for that.
Cheers, brother.
That was awesome. It's anything that kind of links to whoever she is and whatever we've been working on is, you know, more than amazing.
Yeah, it won't be the end of it. You know, Nurses is a show about a diverse group of Canadian nurses basically having an over-sexualized good time,
yeah.
As nurses do. And in the sequence, you know, there's a monk that we think is going to commit suicide, but
right.
He has this like revelation moment. And the song starts off with these foreign vocals and it's an Asian monk, but it's definitely a Tibetan monk.
Yeah.
Yet we use Filipino rap and it works. Are you insulted that I did that?
No, man. Honestly, when you actually just described it, I kind of got goosebumps with whole thing just because it's like, in the world that I work with as being a cultural, I guess, musician or artist, it's like, you know, representation for the people that I work with and just like that I really feel passionate about is giving them a platform outside of just making music and performing, but like, I wouldn't say it's fully nailing it visually, but it's like it has so much connection. And I think that alone, you know, already kind of like put that track on another level.
That's so. Right. I feel like if I've got like, you know, a Tibetan monk and song in there,
uh-huh.
That's not music supervision, that's paint by numbers.
Yes.
So I try and find the human connection to all that. When I hear Hanhan, I hear the passion and I feel the rhythm and the cadence speaks to me.
Yeah.
I don't know what she's saying.
Yeah.
It doesn't matter. The Datu Project.
Datu Project. Okay, so we released 2017 our album called High Blood.
All right, we'll go. Who's we? Let's give some shouts.
So me and Romeo Candido, great,
Romeo.
I guess, huge trendsetter in Toronto. He works at CBC as a film producer. But
creative
force, man. He's also worked, you know, we both have this like, some traditional background in a lot of like the Filipino arts. And we both came together making some gongs playing with like some electronic to hip hop, to R&B, to rock, to house music. And I guess what we're trying to do now in the next year is We have one project that we want to do like a straight up meditation album, and then another one where we're actually doing all house music.
Right.
I think we're just trying to touch base on all the things that we love doing, but at the same time honoring where our roots come from.
Absolutely. If I could quote you,
yeah.
It could be a struggle sometimes pushing boundaries and at the same time battling with my identity as a cultural artist. I ask myself, why do I do the work I do? I constantly put myself in the light to be critiqued, questioned about what I do. The relearning, the conversations, the stories, the music, the movement, and the visuals that I get to share and learn with my crew that enriches me. It's what I get to share with my family. It's playing with the what ifs that make it a reality. When I'm doing Datu music for more than 5 years now, I've always considered Datu not a band, but a lifestyle. It's still evolving. It feeds my soul.
Yeah. There's another quote on top of that that I like to quote out is, I saw this in... by the OCAD, it was outside while I was just passing by. And the quote was, art was never the easy way out, you know? And some people have also told me, like, if you're not struggling as within the art, then what are you doing? You're not doing art. Art is supposed to be questionable. It's supposed to be critiqued.
You're just making aesthetics.
Yeah. And, you know, art is always documenting. And, you know, if you're not documenting anything interesting, then you're not really showing anything to anybody, you know? Again, so what I'm doing with this artwork is like, we're always questioned for what we're doing. Mm-hmm. We're always trying to validate ourselves, but also we're always getting critiqued and, questioned. And, you know, we're talking about from people from the traditional side of things to even as far as what we're trying to do progressively. And, and I think I've had this battle as my own self. And this is questions I've had with my partner. And, you know, she goes through the same thing. So she's asking me, but I'm asking her. My kids are even looking at me and going, I don't even care about this stuff. And, you know, like sometimes I'm even looking at other people. But then I think the thing that we need to see is like the human element that allows you to try to vouch for yourself. That kind of gives the life to every piece of art that you do. Because, you know, I don't think I'm looking for validation. You know, again, another quote was, it's like, you know, a friend posted this on her Instagram saying, I always thought it was me against the world until I realized it was me against me.
Right.
Boom.
Right.
You know what I mean?
Yes.
So
it's got chills.
You're never, ever going to satisfy anybody until you actually recognize yourself.
That's true.
Yeah.
That's true. And someone like you who has sort of internalized this history of music, I know you're very knowledgeable. Mm. We were talking about all the rabbit holes we go down and that all then gets synthesized through your filter.
Mm.
And yes. I just wanted to point, I don't know if there's a question here, but it's beautiful.
Thanks,
and
man.
Thank you.
Yeah.
You know, and I think there's something special for those who are listening outside of Toronto, and I will be specific about Toronto here. Mm-hmm. There are some beautiful things happening with the marriage of music, performance, fashion, and the conversation around culture and inclusivity.
Yeah.
You are on the cusp of that. And I appreciate it,
Thanks, man.
And the stuff that you do is now being recognized for what it is. You just did a TED Talk. Tell me about that.
TED Talk was great. You know, I feel like everyone that was part of the platform. So again, shout outs to Romeo Candido G, as well as our two amazing dancers that have been part of our crew, Candice Kumar and Fly Lady Di, of course. Boop, boop. Got to give it up to her. She's awesome. And all of us have always been, you know, we're raised, for most of us, we're raised in Toronto. Mm-hmm. And we all try to, like, kind of break the boundary of, like, what we're doing in our art form. So I think this whole TED Talk allowed us to put our thesis into action, put our voices on a platform that allowed us to talk about and show the way that we see music. And, you know, again, so I'm playing with gongs, and a lot of times people have no clue what those are, right?
Sure, yeah.
The gongs don't even fit on a regular Western scale, you know?
Yeah.
And for me, that's like, I've learned from an amazing jazz musician out in San Fran, and I've learned that he said, and this was me in San Fran, but not actually not in San Fran, but he came to Cotabato, Philippines, Mindanao, and we were there with my master.
Okay.
And then he said something. He said, you know, just make sure when you play with these gongs, you don't try to retune them. You don't try to find out the scale.
Hmm.
If there's one thing that we can learn as being in the Western world, that we can't assimilate everything. And in art form, such as gongs, it's not a thing that we should assimilate. If we want to honor something and have respect for anything, is learn how to use and integrate other sounds and ideas that Western culture can vouch for, can kind of like
as it is, for. Not painting yes. it as something yes. else or putting it through a filter and saying that's what it is, giving it the weight, the auditory weight that it deserves.
Yes, giving it the real lens it needs to have. Like right. you're talking about, like, you know, a lot of people in the future, like, they never want to look back. They never want to look back. And I think the whole thing is looking back to move forward is kind of the new landscape when totally. It comes to an amazing spot like Toronto that sure. has a lot of the culture. That has
you're
a
seeing
lot of
it the in the art too. Yeah. I mean, people's homes are going back to more of a vintage look. We're yes. seeing the clothing go back to a vintage.
Yes.
Your hat is vintage.
That's
you know?
It, man.
It's all what's old is new, because I think, and you know, a lot of us in this world, in the business that are kind of at where we're at, we're of the age where we remember the plastic. We remember the noise wars. We remember the CD. We remember when MP3s were real thin and shit was plastic. And now we have the bandwidth to make things robust. We have stages and outlets like TEDx where we can explain ourselves, where we can tell our stories. And frankly, this podcast, where we can go long form.
Yes.
I don't think we do remember those soundbite days. We understand the horse shittery behind them.
Yeah.
And now we're into the conversation.
Yeah.
So I love that from my perspective, I can put you into stuff that it doesn't jive.
Yeah.
Where, like you're saying, like the gong, it doesn't have to fit right in.
No.
I want a jarring moment where the audience feels like they're not watching the commercial anymore.
Mm.
Well, this is the television show. This is the subversive, different piece of art.
Yeah. I'm a musician first and an artist first, and I've always been producing music from back in the day with Styrofoam Ones, which was my kind of like synth punk from
Shit,
Toronto.
I totally forgot you were that. That's like
100%,
yeah,
man.
NHL 2K and
yes.
stuff, and we got you on some mad stuff. We got
some
you
mad
like
stuff, man.
A skateboarding video game at some point. Yeah,
yeah,
like crazy stuff.
Also, Times New Roman.
Right.
Right? So, obviously, that's the Nintendo punk rap that I used
that's
to
right,
be part
yeah.
of.
We used to pitch the fuck out of that.
Yeah,
so
man.
Mike Jansen.
I don't know about you. I'm a motherfucker. I don't know about you.
Yeah, so, like, all these projects, I've always had this landscape of doing music from as far left as gongs to as far right as like doing funk to like electronic to house and all this
yep.
other parts, and everything follows in between. So I knew as my natural weight of what I do as an artist, I knew I had something that I can share in the sync world, in the licensing world. And I did it naturally, and I love doing it, actually. You know?
So what are some of your successes in the licensing world that
okay,
we know?
Okay, so licensing world, the beauty of it was, like, I think some of my successes, first and foremost, has been seeing stuff like Datu, seeing stuff like Han Han in the sync world.
So we're seeing synced, album recorded, made, nothing other than just signing your
That's
agreement.
It. Yeah.
No work.
Right. Now I'm in the whole, like, making customized the work,
okay,
actually.
So you've done that as well. So we've talked about a few of those. I know you got on Bones and something else with
yes.
Hanan, but I've done a lot of the work, I must
100%,
say. Which is great.
100% you have, yes.
Whatever, but there's also the other side of writing, which we've never worked on. I've never worked with you as a writer.
Right. Not yet.
But
not
you've,
yet.
You've had not yet. Exactly right.
That's it.
Well, we don't get into that stuff a lot.
Okay.
We're not an audio house, and audio houses are fantastic if you, you know, like trying to get as close to a Black Keys song as possible.
True, yeah.
But
yeah.
when the rare occasion comes about that they're trying to get something that's pushing the envelope, that's beautiful. Thing
yeah.
audio houses do that. We are more music supervisors,
yeah.
But you have had some serious success with Apple,
yeah.
Notably.
So, like, I just released a few tracks actually under Lex Jr., my own name. So,
okay.
it's it is like our track Drifting was now on the new iPhone 11,
okay.
As well as, like, literally days before it was released, I was able to get
and Drifting was released. As a song?
As a song, as me as an artist.
Okay.
And it was released the same day they dropped the iPhone 11. Finding ways to kind of like navigate that world, but us as well as still being the artist and being able to showcase my work. So another thing is like Pop Panic is another track. Pop Panic is featuring Just John from Toronto.
Yep.
And that was like a couple days before the Apple 11 got released. They literally asked for that. And so I got two tracks on the new iPhone, on the new Apple commercial.
Real.
I also got Crown Royale just recently with another track that has Han Han on it.
Right on.
Which is amazing. So my whole thing is I'm encompassing people around me. People
Crown Royale, that's cool.
Yeah, man.
Because Crown Royale, people don't know this that much, but it's like a Canadian brand that the world loves. So if we can export some of that, you know, different Canadiana that makes our fabric so unique. I mean, that's special.
Yes.
But the Apple's an international juggernaut.
Yep.
And to have two things on that, is this now, is that turned your focus inwards to create more of the album music, or now have you caught the production bug?
Well, I always have a production bug. You know what I mean? Like, I'm always in the studio, and if you could get me in there for 10 hours, I'm there and I'm down.
Because
that's who I am. So I work with various artists that could be from, like, you know, again, from left field to, like, straight up pop. And I enjoy it. I enjoy the challenge.
Right on.
And I think the whole landscape with this is I'm making an album for my own self. I'm making an album that has a lot of those elements, but I think because I found a wave in what the sync world has, I enjoy making funk. I enjoy working with like new tracks that aren't like, you know, I'll say this now because I'm working with like Tanika Charles
on some new stuff. Yeah. I cannot wait for that.
Yeah, 100%.
Tanika Charles is someone the world needs to know more about.
Oh my gosh.
She's a gem. She is like the Sharon Jones.
Sharon Jones, exactly.
2.0, you know. She's got fire. She's gorgeous. You know,
amazing.
Her voice and her ideas are wonderful. And she's open to, you know, cross-cultural stuff.
Right.
Which is what I think makes music successful. Yeah. We were talking about Nerd.
Right.
You know, Pharrell.
Yes.
And like keeping it wide.
Yes.
Not just keeping it, you know, because it's soul. It doesn't just have to be for the Black community. Mm-hmm. It's for everybody.
Yeah.
And I love that about Tanika. And I'm very excited for you to bring
what you do to the table. Yeah, I'm happy with that one.
Again, and Jesse too.
Jesse Reyes
is a throwback.
She is a throwback, man.
She may have like, you know, modern slang and style, but it's very classic. It's almost Nina Simone
in many
ways. Yeah.
And like working with her from back in the day was like, it's great because, you know, she's always been just a guitar driven type of artist.
Right.
So like her, she definitely has a deep soul, you know, when she plays.
We just placed the song Apple Juice.
Nice.
Which is just like her in a guitar.
Guitar, sick.
And it's just perfect.
Yeah, man.
And it just doesn't get better than that.
It doesn't.
The space between the notes, my friend.
Mm.
This is why I love Datu. Mm. I love the gong. I love the stuff because you're not... It's not like a lot of the cultural music, and some people, there's a fear of entry for some cultural music because you feel like you're going to be hit over the head, Eastern European, you know, whirly-dirly kind of madness. Now, what this stuff is measured.
Yeah.
And the space between the notes is as important as the notes itself.
Yes.
Is this a cultural thing or is this a you, just
this
you?
Is, you know what?
What did you grow up listening to?
So again, like, I think it's more like a Toronto thing. And you can tell somebody else in another city, like, or even in the Philippines, and they would say, that's not Filipino music.
Yeah.
You know, like there's a thing called OPM, which is original Filipino music, right?
OPM, baby.
OPM. And like, I saw just recently our track World Gone Crazy being used on a big stage in the Philippines where there were like 30 dancers. And to me, I think that's where we're acting as like being the pioneers in something that hasn't been done before.
That's right.
And, you know, again, I had this conversation with a friend that was trying to write on the diaspora of Filipino arts. And I think we talked about that, and we're just nailing the idea of rediscovering a roots. Mm-hmm. And I think that's what Toronto represents for a lot of different cultures. We have a privilege to do that. You know, some places don't get to go that far in that type of art.
Brother, that's why this podcast exists.
Yes,
there's
man.
So much good stuff happening in Toronto.
Yeah.
And there are so much great things happening with Canadian artists. As a music supervisor that works on international projects, and a lot of American projects, I still find myself gravitating towards Canadian producers and music because we want to go international. We want to feel like we're not in a pocket.
Mm.
And I think the future's beautifully bright for you in that regards, man.
It's great.
But I think it's also important to note for young musicians listening that it isn't just this pursuit of culture and this, high art thing. There has to be a balance by, you have to steal from the corporation. You have to find a way to bring how you're relevant to what their conversation
and
is.
You know what? On that note, I've realized as I was doing sync music, I think I've just particularly focused on understanding the framework of certain things. So allowing me to go back to where my artistry is, putting my artist hat, kind of gave me these footnotes of how I can navigate with what I want to do as an artist without still breaking those boundaries.
Well, so let's expand upon that. Meaning that you don't have an idea and then go forth. You're given an idea and then told to work within that boundary, right? Mm-hmm. Is that what you're talking about?
Not even the idea. Sometimes it's even just the structure. They, you know, like a lot of times, you know, this sync music, if you just get it over and over again, you kind of get, as a composer, you kind of get what it is that they're looking for. You know, obviously it depends if you're doing TV and film, there's a bit more of emotional attachment. There's a bit more space and room. Sometimes I think with, but sometimes I think with commercial work, it's very ADHD and like, here you go. Like, here are certain terminologies, like certain brams, certain risers, certain this and
for
that.
Sure. And well, I mean, 60 Second used to be king like 5 years ago when cinema was huge and whatnot. And that was like very big on winning awards and whatnot. Now the 30 Second is the main. They're not doing a lot of 60s for cinema. They're not even bothering. The heroes become the 5 and 15s for Instagram shares.
Yeah.
So if you can't get your idea off in 5 to 15 seconds, you're in trouble.
Yeah.
You know?
I see that.
And so, I mean, even to go further back to this and for our listeners.
Yeah.
Are you inserting yourself in doing this? Are people calling you to get these jobs? How do you get... how do you get to even pitch to Apple?
You know, so again, before I've been very lucky and I know I'm privileged when I had those chances of having my albums that I just naturally made and say, this is what I made. I don't give a fuck. I could say that, yeah?
Fuck yeah.
Okay. Yeah. And I was lucky to have some placements, from you as well as from Greater Goods and a couple of places from LA. And I think I just landed those. But then now I've changed my gears. But I'm changing it with intent to have certain syncable, frameworks. But and I'm knocking down doors. Because I think that's an important part. And I think as an artist, I'm just trying to continue to do that.
For sure.
And I think I should.
I love the idea of knocking down doors.
You have to.
But I just worry that there's some idiot listening right now that's going to do what we did. We talked about it. That's like, just go overboard the wrong way. And it sounds like knocking down the doors does not mean you're knocking down the doors. It does mean 10,000 hours, like we said.
You definitely need to make sure, like, again, I understand the whole thing of authenticity to me, to you, is key. It's actually clutch. And, you know, again, you're going to get these people that are just going to come in and, you know, I've seen people that are just musicians for the sync world and that's all they are.
Mm-hmm.
I don't feel it.
You know? It's not okay. I met a few in LA. I did not give them the respect they deserve.
You know?
And they don't deserve it. Sorry. You're not our... Don't expect me as a... I'm serious. I know Ben's standing here laughing, trying not to be on... But I mean, you throw a party. You throw a party with sync people. And you throw in... And you want to come out as like someone who just writes production music, and that's all you have without this whole other storytelling aspect to your career. How do you expect me to get... give you the same respect as an artist?
That's it, man.
So I don't know where to talk. Mm-hmm. I met a couple guys and I didn't know how to even speak to them. What are you working on? Who are you ripping off tomorrow? Like, I don't know where to start. So don't come to our events anymore.
Yeah.
I'm serious. We're looking for artists, you know? I think there's enough stock music out there.
Right.
There's like, they've been doing, you know, music styles haven't changed that fucking drastically. You know,
and
that, like,
I gotta say, and you know, like, maybe I'm gonna just put that there to let people know. So those people that are in this industry for like the past 10, 15 years that are just only doing sync music or doing commercial work, like, the best advice I give to them, work with an artist that is vouching to just try to get a penny.
There you go.
You know what I mean?
Yeah.
You put them on.
Yeah.
Like, it doesn't matter.
And this dissing is coming from me, from Lex, not from Alex. Just so you know, just don't come at him. Come at me.
No, it's all good. It's all good. I get it, man. You know, I need people who push the envelope
because even when, and maybe this is me being a bit of like the privileged outsider that I'm not an audio house. I don't have to like be beholden to my clients all the time.
Yeah.
I am there to create a problem. I hear about an ad being done and there's like some real element and they're just using Joe from their basement.
Right, right.
I'm like, well, why don't you get Jack? Because Jack does this every day.
That's it.
And he's out there. And
that's like,
you send links of the shows and this and that. And then they go, well, can we afford him? It's like, yes, you can.
Yeah.
These people don't have the game playing to know to get out there to get that right money.
That's it.
It is those people that are the ripoff artists that may know how to play the game better than
you.
So, you know, connect with people like myself, like Ben, like all these kind of advocates for sync.
Yeah.
And you'd be surprised how many times it's just the right answer for the thing.
Right, right.
You know, I've had people in positions who are pitchers who tell me they pitch music that isn't in their catalog just because... They want to serve the mass. They want to serve
the
story and make
the
best. Because at the end of the day, it's their reputation. And they're going to go back to that sync agent because they just have the smart answer.
Right.
So,
and another thing is, like, you can work by yourself. And I think a lot of people have. And I think it's because the first idea that is laid on the table, people think it's money. Money is always the first thing. But, you know, if you come to artists and, you know, you're already in the framework of just being about money, you're going to have the artist come in and have a different perspective. And I think that's where the authenticity comes into play.
That's right.
You know, and again, your 10,000 hours, if it's gone through sweat equity of just getting like questioned, especially with my work that I've been doing in the past, geez, I got scars. I got battle scars for days on this thing.
I can see 10,000 hours in people's eyes.
Oh my God.
You can
see it on my wrinkles for sure, man.
No, but I see it in the opposite. I don't see it in the worn out. I see it in the confidence.
Cool.
And I see it as someone who's able to navigate as they're being briefed. You can see the wheels turning.
Yeah.
You can see the experiences and how they're going to navigate it. There's a way of thinking that is extremely important. And as though, you know, we do say bust down these doors.
Yeah.
You gotta do it carefully.
Oh,
you gotta
do
it carefully. It's a style. You could have been doing these ads 10 years ago.
I could have.
But could you have landed them? Could you have adjusted? Could you have had that proper panache to even demand the cash you got?
You know, 100%
right?
Not. 100% not. I'm going to say that for sure. 100% not. And you know, like 10 years ago, I've gotten some syncs and I should have been like, or I could have been like, let's get it, you know? But at the same time, I knew where, it goes back to wearing like, where's your heart at?
Mm-hmm.
You know, like the whole thing of doing this type of stuff is like doing the music is where is your heart at? And I realize 10 years later, now that I'm doing it, I know where my heart's at. You know, I got two kids. I got to feed them.
That's right.
That's where my heart's at.
Yep.
First and foremost. Second of all is making good music. Mm-hmm. You know, like, so like I'm trying to encompass that and honestly, continually working. I think sometimes I'm a little too I could be a little too fresh by including some collaborators very quickly. I'm excited,
right.
You know, I'm bringing them in. And like, again, another person. So while we're in here in Vancouver, I just actually recorded her, Kim Mortal.
Okay.
Kim Mortal, she's an amazing, amazing person. And like, yeah, I'm just trying to like see who could get on, you know?
Right,
and
right.
Again, just being in the studio and having more and more of those people is the most inspiring thing I can have.
I love the way you're talking, man. Because it's that it's that open willingness, the ears that are open, it's the eyes that are open, and also the blindness to the bullshit, you know?
Yeah.
It's just like, who's good? Who's got something new to offer?
Mm.
And how can I be a part of that? And
right.
I've always digged your style like
Thanks,
that, man.
Yeah.
So we end the podcast with just a little lightning round.
Do it.
Let's go. Yeah, we're going to do. So at the age of 13, what was you listening to?
Rage.
The age of 21.
D'Angelo.
D'Angelo, from Rage to D'Angelo.
Mm.
Ooh.
Mm.
What are you listening to now? What's on the biggest repeat for you now?
What is on the biggest repeat for now? I would say Roddy Ricch.
Okay.
Roddy Ricch is, he's in.
This is new to me. I'm not going to pretend to be like, yeah man.
Roddy Ricch, you know, like my kid.
Or do I know it and not
old.
Know that I know it?
You know what? It's cool, actually, because, you know, I'm recording young kids now, too. There's one kid, like, these guys play NCAA, and they're rappers, and they're from Toronto.
Dope.
But they're all going to the States and playing ball.
No fucking way.
And there's
Canada ball. That's where it's at, man.
And then there's this one kid, he's in Atlanta. So he's just getting me in.
Amazing.
And so this guy, Roddy Ricch, and I listened to him. He's got bars. He's kind of like Big Crit. You got these conscious rappers from Kendrick Lamar.
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
He's kind of like on the come up, but then like the way that he just speaks and he's just talking about the streets.
Right.
And to me, like when I'm hearing that, and it's all this like sing rappy type of stuff, he's actually clear. He's not one of those lazy rappers.
Sure.
He's like, he's putting in work. You know what I mean? Like I even try to like, you know, sing of his, some of his stuff and I had to like stretch my vocals up because I want to just try to rap his rap, but
brilliant.
And he's amazing, amazing young cat.
East Coast storytelling, fucking yeah,
you
that's
know,
my jam,
and that's it, man. And honestly, for the fact that I'm a grown man hearing this young kid speak and have bars, I'm like, I'm in.
And classic. What are you watching now? What are you binging? Because we're in binge.
What am
right
I
now.
Binging? Yo, Top Boy.
Top Boy.
Top Boy was great.
Legendary.
Yes,
series.
Man.
Yeah.
Top Boy was a great, great series.
Did you watch the original Top Boy and then watch the new Top Boy?
No, I definitely watched the new one.
I watched
and then
the new
everyone
one too.
Has been telling me to watch the old stuff, and I haven't gone around to just take my time to do it. But
neither
that's on my list.
Okay, put on your list, audience. Watch 100%. Top Boy.
Top Boy.
Produced
not
by
just
Drake and Future,
yeah,
right?
Yeah, not just because those got, you know, it's got the vouching of like, you know, the game changers, but it's like, it's just great. It actually has so much that relates to even like what Toronto is about.
It does,
you know.
I find it really very, very Toronto.
Very
the way guns are dealt with because you can't get guns in the UK.
Yeah.
So it's like everything is dirty. Like when they get guns, they get shotguns
that
probably don't have good aim, and like it's all very Canadian in the way that it's not crime in America.
You got
it's
pretty
politics.
Much,
it's social. It's
the Crown and the Caribbean.
Yeah.
Those are the two main things that I feel like Toronto really relates to.
Yes.
And like our influences of the islands are so big. We don't, you know, people don't realize it. As much as you're hearing all this weird slang from Toronto, you know, outside of just seeing that, there's amazing, there's a deep rooted culture into that, you know, like even the reggae scene from
absolutely,
like the '70s in
absolutely.
Toronto.
Absolutely.
Yeah, man.
Well,
so,
it's Canada.
It's Canada.
It's a catch all for the best people in the world.
Yeah, man. Honestly, it's the best place in the world.
Well, dude, thanks for being on the podcast. This was fantastic.
Thank you, man.
We like to like go out with a song. So what song in your catalog or the friends that you produced are you so proud of that you want to get on the back of this podcast?
I would honestly say World Gone Crazy, man.
Let's do it.
From both of like the Hand Project and the Datu Project, these two encompass a lot of what I do.
Lex Jr., Alex, thank you for being on the podcast.
Yes,
my friend, a
good
pleasure.
Good to see you again, man.
We'll have a good time on the panel later.
Yeah, man.
Cheers.
Cheers. She gon' say, this world has gone crazy. This world's gone crazy. She don't stay. Last days, her mind's always tripping on another obsession, another game. I'm over.
Music Supercast is a production of Sorrel Studios and distributed by the Sound Off Media Company.